Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Do it a little faster.
You still got it.
It's your girl, Shanti.
And it's Antoinette.
And we are
Around the Way Curls.
Join us as we share our unique life experiences.
AKA tell all our business.
And explore both the profound and the profane.
Because duality is a thing.
Oh, hello. Yes-o. Pip, pip, cheerio. Oh. I'm losing it. I'm back, y'all. I'm back. As you can hear, Jade's here.
Oh, hello.
Who else is here?
Crystal Jean's here.
Crystal Jean's here.
Is that me?
In the police. No, that's me.
Whoop, whoop.
Oh, wait, Flatbush.
That's the sound that I beast.
Okay, sorry.
Is your window open?
No, it is not.
It just be that loud.
They just be, yeah.
That is loud as shit.
You know
all day,
damn.
Every day, 24/7. Shout out to Flatbush.
You know the powers that be aiming to torture us?
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the new streetlights in Philly?
They're like the same ones that are in New Orleans with the face recognition, the AI?
No, they're like spotlights.
they're doing that in Atlanta
lights.
Now.
Project
they
lights.
Are so bright. But no, they're like streetlights. And I'm like, you are going to drive these people crazy.
Mm-hmm. They've been they doing that outside rest. The projects for years.
With this direct sunlight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They used to do that in Brooklyn, in Bed-Stuy all the time. All right, y'all. We're back. This is episode 344. Can you believe it? Wow. That's a lot. Here we are, little independent podcast doing its thing. Got the big wigs on again. I'm holding down the fort. And we miss Shanti. We'll have her back soon.
Yes, miss you, girl.
I would like to just I'd like to thank y'all. Jay, this doesn't mean a lot to you, but right now it's Saturday, April 20th, 5:57, and the game is on.
Oh, I remember saying 4:20 means a lot to me. What you mean?
Girl.
Oh, it is 4:20.
Hello.
Remember when y'all used to do 4:20 parties?
I almost had a 4:20 party, but then we were recording, so I said, never mind.
You keep doing that. Did I ruin your Saturday?
She's a riot.
Even in the text message.
She's being
Bobby was like, are you guys enjoying this beautiful day? She was like, maybe I will be able to once I'm done having to do all the bullshit I have to do. I was like, I'm so sorry.
I knew as soon as I saw that come through, I said, oh, internet's about to spawn a nuke.
I'm so sorry. Why would you take that personally when I told you I had a meeting at 3:00?
Like, I know, but that was done. And then you could have.
You know she was she was going to digest that and cry.
I felt so bad. Immediately. It was immediate.
Oh my God.
We love you, girl.
Oh my God.
All right.
We love you, girl.
You are a sensitive little cinnamon apple. I will keep that in mind.
She loves
cinnamon apple.
That's what she's offering to. Don't Why I never look, got it? You never gave me a good, too. Delicious food.
Because you're not no fucking nickname. Cinnamon apple.
Well, bitch, what am I then?
You a candy apple. You I got love a heart them. Outside.
Mm, with peanuts.
And so soft on the inside, that little precious lamb of
the
God.
The cinnamon apples are soft all over. They're just butter and cinnamon and an apple, and you bake that hoe. And then they're just
they're delicious,
like a little pie.
I don't think I've ever heard a cinnamon apple.
I used to see that video that came out. No, but it was a video several years ago. This nigga being like, I guess his girl left him or something. He was like, "We were supposed to be together. You was my cinnamon apple." No. This nigga was down horrendous.
Oh no.
He was so passionate. You were supposed to be my cinnamon apple.
Oh, see, nigga done fucked up. You should have acted right. You fucked around, you found out.
So wait, was it like apple pie filling? Is that what the cinnamon apple is?
Well, no. I mean, you can literally just
apples
and cut up an and apple butter, and sugar. Right, little butter and cinnamon sugar, bake it for a little while, yeah. Or let it simmer even on the stovetop. Like it's not. Mm-hmm. It's just a little. It's a very simple little sweet dessert type mm-hmm. situation. But
maybe I'll make some.
That's well, nice. That doesn't maybe look you like will. You really want that. So
you can you see me looking at it?
Yeah. Yeah, did you look up a cinnamon apple?
Yeah, there's something about apples for dessert. Doesn't get the kid
are
going.
Are you one of those not cook fruit people? Stress me out.
I just, if I'm going to do a dessert, it needs to be like chocolate. It needs to be okay. Like, bust down this brownie real
a
quick.
Cronut.
Mm, no, a cronut. No, she likes chocolate shit.
Like brownies give me...
and chocolate cake and chocolate chip cookies and
yeah, like that's okay. Dessert. If you put gotcha. Some apples in front of me with some fucking cinnamon on it, I'm like,
well, I don't want you're not just gonna eat just the apples with the, like it's you know
right. You have a little ice cream or something.
Okay, you know? That you.
Oh. But cinnamon apple is just a you're taking it way too far. Jeez. Cinnamon apple is just a term of endearment. Like oh, sweet little.
She called you sweet person. And spicy.
Adorable girl.
It's not spicy, Jade. I'm only sweet with Crystal. Thank you.
That's definitely
but when have I been spicy with you? Only with sports.
I was gonna say, do we remember 15 minutes ago?
I'm getting ready to create a montage. I am. Antoinette slapped me in the club one time and it took everything
no,
in
didn't.
Me. No, you did. You did. You did. Yes, exactly.
You in the club.
You see, for me, I have never exercised that amount of self-control and restraint in my life. I was like,
Antoinette, why did my mother left out? Were you drunk?
Probably slightly.
I slapped her not...
That sounds crazy. It
does sound I crazy. Didn't slap. We Jade weren't. We club. Weren't beefing. We weren't anything. No. I think
it was playful.
It was playful, but it was so unnecessary.
It was so unnecessary.
It was like a. You know what it is? I play.
You
too
know
much.
When you go too far.
Yeah, I went too far, and I was like, "What?" And even when I did it, I was like, "Why did you do?
Why
that?
Did I do that?"
And my face showed it, and Jade was like.
Like
and Tristan
I'm
was
gonna
like,
beat your ass because I can tell I had, you regret this.
I know. I literally was like, I was like, I can't fight. I can't whoop her ass. Like I do love her. Like I can't. No, and we used to wrestle. Like, and we used
me
to wrestle.
You would be
so.
A good fight. We have yeah, we have similar strength. Yeah, we would be good.
I wouldn't want to see it.
It would be. It,
I would
that
never
would be
wanna
a good,
see
it. Would be.
That
no,
would
no,
be
no.
A good lineup, though. A good yeah. Matchup.
Like if somebody said, "What's a fair fight?" I would absolutely put Antoinette in the ring with me. Absolutely.
That is actually a compliment.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah, both of y'all are really ghetto.
No, it's because she like.
As you put your fucking lip gloss on. Shut up.
I know. My cheap lip gloss. This is the fourth time I had to put it back on because it just keeps rubbing right off.
Which lip gloss is that? Don't say Fenty.
I don't even
don't
know.
Say Fenty,
I peeled.
Don't say
it's
Fenty.
Not Fenty, but I okay. Pulled the. I want to say. Put some on. I almost said Tracy Martel. I want to say Trixie Mattel.
This is we were just talking about her earlier. Plus. Did you watch the Drag Race finale?
I did not, but I do know who won.
Okay.
So
is that the answer that you feel like I felt when y'all was talking about basketball?
Yeah, when you talk about when y'all get into drag race is how you feel when I start talking about sports.
Yeah. Although I do enjoy basketball. I'm just not.
Well, I know both.
Okay. Well, okay.
She's so annoying.
I know vote.
Okay, bitch. Like,
all right, got it. Great. Good for you.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you so much.
We're 8 minutes into your Crystal, episode, I have to talk about shit.
You say the Knicks are winning this series.
Oh, Lord. I don't think so.
I want to know, in how many games?
Five.
Wow. All right. Joel Embiid is laboring. Joel Embiid is hurt.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think that affects y'all's roster more than the Knicks' injuries affect the Knicks' roster.
Yeah, because Joel Embiid is that league MVP.
Of course. So naturally, his absence or his diminished capabilities will be felt by everybody. And I just don't know, especially, and you know what? I will say primarily the reason that I think the Knicks are going to take the series is that they have home court advantage. And they have it's a big deal to have that first game be at your house and not them nigga house. So and I'm happy to be wrong. You know, I'm rooting for the Sixers. Let me make sure I'm clear. And you know that. Not over the Thunder. The Thunder is my team. But when the Sixers are playing somebody else, I root for them because of my love for Antoinette. Oklahoma. So it's not that I want the Knicks to win. I just, from the NBA games that I've seen, which is more than usual this past season, I think the Knicks got it in a series. I do.
This is either, I posted this on Instagrams, on the stories.
Oh, Christ.
This is either going to be heaven or hell for me. I'm in an entanglement in a relationship with someone who is a Knicks fan.
Die hard, I'm
not
sure.
Entanglement.
And when I tell you that my energy is the same, I want all the fucking smoke, Sixers and six.
Do not accidentally slap this nigga.
Sixers in the fuck.
Sixers in.
That's a good man.
Don't win. Here don't call me. Don't play around with me. I'm irritated.
I won't. I will leave you alone. I will leave you alone.
The Eagles lost, and I didn't know if.
No, I've learned my lesson. I've learned my lesson. I have, because I would send Antoinette genuine condolences, and she would be like, "Bitch, do you want to fight?"
Yeah,
like,
that ass, and she will body slam
you. You can't tell
in this fight.
You can't tell with Crystal when she's sincere and then when the bit starts. It's just like, well, wait a minute. I can't tell. Am I getting red right now? She's like, sister.
See, that's where you have to,
with all the R's. I'm like,
with her. You got to jab her back.
And I did. I'd be like, oh.
And then she jabs. No, she stabs.
Oh. Well, she slaps too, so.
I'm so sorry. To give context.
And she bites.
Oh.
I did bite Crystal too. I did bite you. I'm not sure why I'm doing this
white
kind of
That's
stuff.
That's the white internet. Boundaries. Issues.
Oh my God. Why did I bite you? It was like when Sanaa bit the Beyonce.
She bit Crystal's shoulder, but I don't think you understand. As a person who was watching the encounter happen from bite to Crystal's facial expressions changing from like shock to horror.
That was one of the first times she invited me over her new house too.
And it was. It was entertainment. I mean, when I tell you theater.
There must have been, there was a big play and we were excited. Yes, I was very excited.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how to.
And you bit me.
When the Eagles won the Super Bowl, I bit my dad.
You see, I need you in therapy.
Video.
Can you mark this down? Because
the video, and they played the video at your birthday party, and you said, "See, I bite everybody."
Tell them that you have a problem with physical boundaries, and you've got to figure out.
You're right. I feel that I've done better. To put it into context, I was much younger when I accidentally, on purpose, placed.
No, that was a long time ago.
I wasn't even 30 yet.
No,
so that's how long I've known this
but
girl.
I was, so I was like, all right. Child crime.
I'd like to apologize. Crystal, I was a little too old to be biting you and didn't
know
you that well.
That was like 6 weeks ago.
To be biting you, that's too much. Like, come
Antoinette
on.
Antoinette loves to remind me that we're not as close as I thought.
That's not true. No. That's Super Bowl. Odell was in the Super Bowl that year. That was when he got hurt, remember? Didn't he get hurt?
It couldn't have been more than 2 years ago.
No, it was, Crystal.
No, it wasn't, because she hasn't been living here.
Right. I've only been living here 3 years.
Literally, Antoinette, that was 2023.
It was no more than 3 years ago.
Then it wasn't that big of a deal for me to, come on, then I take it back. Then it was like, all right, so she met you a little
bit. She don't even remember, like.
Because I'm trying to figure out why it's such a big deal. It's like, I wrestle with my friends. Sometimes I bite them. It's like, if we're close, then, you know. And it wasn't a
And
it
you do love a shoulder bite. You like a shoulder.
It was a little.
No, Antoinette does a slow lean over and just kind of right into your shoulder.
Not a, it wasn't a hard bite. Is that what you just said?
I don't think
arm was sore for the next 4 days.
She said you gave her a vaccine.
Like,
that's horrible. I'm sorry.
This is hilarious.
You stuck your teeth into me. I think you chewed a little bit.
Like, no, all right.
Are you serious?
Chewed a little bit,
you know, about
the I don't know. I think part maybe I was the it was the contact high, you know, everybody's doing a lot.
Oh yeah, now everybody not, was smoking.
Okay, I don't smoke, so I could have gotten very confused. No, there was liquor.
No,
it's tricky.
No, contact
for me.
High, not real. No, you could definitely get high being
contact
in a room.
Contact high is absolutely
else.
Real.
Y'all are in your head. Chill.
That is not.
That's because everybody. You're high 24/7.
You're
I'm
very
not.
Wrong.
And I can't.
Perhaps
I couldn't function.
I was going to say, show your research. I'm logging into the library.
Bet
true.
You riches money on this now. Relax.
Okay. Because I already found a publication from the National Institute on Drug Abuse talking about the secondhand.
All right, here we go.
The effects of secondhand exposure to marijuana smoke. I thought you were serious when you said it was a placebo. I'm like, no, that's not true.
See, this is what I'm saying.
I immediately went to school.
This is how I get this one, because she starts getting into her fucking research, and I'm like,
she was just talking. She didn't mean that.
Words mean
and
things.
I should have known that. Right. And she know.
But you fall for it every time.
I do. Yeah. I do.
Well, I'm like, you're a troll.
Ruined your show by 15 minutes.
No, everything's fine.
No, we talked about basketball.
This is the
like
update. This is the update.
We talked about the NBA like she wanted to.
Cut it out. We're going to get into the WNBA after voicemails. But I do want to take this time to apologize to you officially, both of you. Jade, I'm
for
sorry for play slapping you.
No, please stop.
Oh my god, if you don't know, you better not. No, you better no. Fucking not apologize.
No, because
all,
I'm still going to troll
apologized.
You about this, so I don't want it.
You, right. You apologized a million times.
You
I'm
have.
Still going to troll you.
Did.
All right.
Well,
and,
so.
And we will.
Stop
and
this. Stand up.
Ooh,
stand
you know
up.
Where you stand up. It was Ode to Babel. Rest in peace.
It was Ode. R.I.P. to Ode. R.I.P. Oh to Ode. And that's not really a club. That's like a lounge.
It's not a
club.
But
we was always dancing in there, though. But
in true. Their clubbing, though.
Okay.
Yes. Remember that.
In the lounge.
I clubbing. Do remember that.
That was my 30th birthday when we acted up.
I was there.
That was
I know
time.
You were.
Yeah.
I know. I was there. I didn't know you. I didn't know that was the night of the slap.
No, that wasn't the night of the slap.
Oh,
that wasn't
but that was when we turned it into a whole club.
Mm-hmm.
And oh,
I
yeah.
Yeah.
Act, yeah, I remember
ran
that.
Them up.
It
I
got
ran
ghetto.
Them up.
It got ghetto.
My favorite kind of get.
That was a lot of fun, though. All right. Listen, on Thursday's episodes, we like to listen to voicemails, and they are callers from the community. Or as Shanti would say, the community. So I'm going to play a voicemail from a listener. And we're going to see what they said. I don't remember what these voicemails were, but I wrote them down. So here we are. Ready?
Sounds fun.
What's so funny, Jade?
What you talking
about? I saw your face. Would you like to address it?
No, I'm ready for the voicemails.
Oh, all right.
Hey, ladies. Okay, so my name is Ashley from Buffalo. I've called a couple times before. I've been listening for a while, and I love you so much. I'm going to try to talk fast because I feel like I have a lot to say about episode 343, Duty versus Passion. Now, for some context, I spent 20 years in corporate, 16 at one place in leadership, and because I started my career so early, I had a really great foundation. I started my career at like 21 years old, and I started investing in my 401k at that time. But all of that was rooted in rule following. I'm an only child. I always like follow all the rules, do all the things, you know, achieve all of the things. And as I got older, I started to feel like I was wearing shoes that were too small. I was in a space that I felt like I couldn't be my authentic self, my true self. And over time, over those 16 years, I started unraveling a little bit and allowing myself to be. But one of the things that I want to address is that the golden handcuffs, that is real, right? Like, you can be so free that you choose bondage. That is a quote that I got from Abraham Hicks. But we stay in these situations because we think that that is what we are supposed to do, and it is providing us something that we would not be able to get otherwise. But in my deconstruction, I've been doing a lot of reading and obviously like metaphysical work. I would urge you to buy this really small book. It is like $7 on Amazon. It's called The Abundance Book. And that book is really just communicating to you how you are, everything starts from within us. And I've since taken severance from my job. I was given that opportunity to do that. If I didn't have that opportunity, I would have stayed forever and I would have been uncomfortable forever. But I'm telling you that there is so much more on the other side. And also, do some research on self-pay rather than having insurance, because my husband and I do not have insurance and we still go to the doctor. We still do all the things. It might be a little bit more expensive, but when you think about how much you're actually paying in insurance, you might, if you don't go to the doctor a lot, if you don't have like chronic illnesses and things like that, then you might be fine doing self-pay. That's just a side. And also, I recognize, I said I have a husband. We worked together with me deciding to leave my corporate job and me building my business. Now my business is built on the basically the tenets of what that abundance book is, where everything radiates out from within us and then just returns back to us. So I hope that this makes sense. I was trying to talk fast because I didn't want to get cut off, but you guys are doing great work. Keep going. Love you. Bye. 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 Bye.
I'm going to play one more voicemail before we comment, because this one I'm pretty sure is related.
Hey, ladies. This is Kylene, and I wanted to call in today to talk about the episode that you guys just actually, oh my Lord, I've already forgotten. Oh yes, passion versus duty. And I think the reason I got a little stunned there is because it was such a synchronistic moment for me this morning, because it's been what I've been thinking about for the past couple of weeks. It's really insane. So anyway, I feel like I exist in the middle of both of your experiences. I'm a singer and an actor. And I also left my full-time job in Philly right before I turned 30. And I don't know, I applied for it for a year, so it wasn't like a big surprise. I did it to pursue my career as a performing artist because the work environment was toxic. People trying to get me to both get me fired and also keep me on to fill their diversity quota. And it was taking me away from developing myself as an artist because they always required more of me than I wanted to give. And so that year after was pretty great. I gigged and I worked at Banana Republic, which, I don't know, I was really happy. Money was really tight, but I think this might have been the last time I felt just like genuine joy. And now, I don't know, here I am 10 years later and feeling like I'm a hamster on a wheel, no benefits, can't afford to travel, and feeling pretty unfulfilled. I am thankful that I have a husband who is incredibly supportive, but we're not rich, you know, and he also has goals. So I don't really feel comfortable leaning on him 1,000%. Like, who really wants to do that? Or at least I don't. I think the thing that people don't talk enough about when it comes to balancing your passion and paying your bills is that it never feels like it's enough, especially if you're an artist like me. I'm juggling multiple income streams between day jobs, gigs, not enough, auditioning a lot, not booking enough, and still need to take class, still have to invest in myself. You know, sending my materials to bands, not enough. Like what Antoinette said about begging for the gigs, yeah, it's not it. It gets really hard and muddy when your passion becomes your source of income, and I believe that this is where my anxiety stems from, to be honest. So I don't have a solution. I'm fighting a good fight to not go back to the corporate world. Right now, I'm focusing on chasing my joy instead of clout. The journey just gets too dark without prioritizing joy, and I'm learning that. And I also remember a quote that's been kind of stuck with me for a minute. The grass is greener where you water it. So I say choose the things you want to put love and energy into. Love y'all. Please keep doing what you're doing. Really sad to miss that show that you guys are going.
She got cut off. It's 3 minutes. As someone that has textured and curly hair, I'm so excited to share Clairol's Textures and Tones came out with a permanent color range specifically for curly, coily hair types. Say hello to the improved formula and new look while preserving your curls and your shine. So listen, y'all, check it. Clairol's Textures and Tones is quick and easy to use. It comes in 12 upgraded texture-loving shades. It gives you brilliant color and moisture with zero ammonia, and it makes you feel proud to be able to transform yourself and your hair, saving you time and money, because we all know time is money, child. And did I mention the new formula is pumped with argan and olive oil? They really outdid themselves, y'all, because Clairol's mission is simple: to keep every woman feeling beautiful and confident, and to help her live colorfully through accessible, easy-to-use products. Remember, it's not the hair color you were born with, but the hair color you were meant to be. Clairol, it's so me. All right, everyone, listen up, because this is an important message. Remember in 2018 when Border Patrol separated refugee children from their parents, deported the parents back to their home countries, and then kept the kids in the United States? Well, believe it or not, 6 years later, there are hundreds of families who have still not yet been reunited. Although we as a community may feel hopeless at times, I recently learned about an organization called El Otro Lado. This organization works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S., Tijuana, through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm reduction-based practice. Since 2018, they've reunified over 100 refugee families ripped apart by Trump's zero tolerance policy. Once reunified, El Otro Lado helps each family to find legal representation, housing, and counseling that they need in order to heal and get back on their feet. Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you'll see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like me and believe that all families belong together, then join me in supporting El Otro Lado and donate today. You can find the link to donate to El Otro Lado in the description of this episode, or go to gum.fm/charity. That's gum.fm/charity, and donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website, elotrolado.org/volunteer. elotrolado.org/volunteer.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
I'm going to let y'all talk about it, because just to give you background or comment, if you have any.
Okay.
To give you background, we did an episode last Thursday that was about passion versus duty. Mm. And it was basically trying to address this this idea of you have to do this dutiful thing in order to pay your bills, in order to be responsible, but you're actually suffering because you're unfulfilled. And while you have this security, are you even that secure if you're deeply unhappy? But if you go the passion route, right, there's this idea or this, there's always this, the realization that it might not work. And then you might deal with this, with insecurity, food insecurity, financial insecurity, personal insecurity because it's not working. Mm-hmm. So where is the balance? And I think it's very interesting when it comes to Shanti and I, because I have the corporate gig, right? Shanti has the Sable Collective. I was shocked that even in that episode, she was like, I don't have passions. So that's like a whole other conversation. It was like, oh, okay. But it was a lot of people called about that. And a lot of people, I think these two voicemails summarize what all of the folks were still struggling with. Again, more questions than answers here, but just curious to know your thoughts. Capitalism.
I mean,
well, if you want to go right to the right, if you want to go right to the big Joker,
boom.
Antoinette said, "Let's actually just skip all the hashtag dialogue."
Yeah,
no, I mean,
right to the answer.
I think it's great to have this conversation with you two because neither one of you have corporate gigs, Jade. I remember when you were like, anymore. Mm-hmm. I remember when you were like, I'm not doing this anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't care what happens. This is with a child. This is with a husband. You were like, I'm not doing it. I'll figure it out. And I was like, you sure, girl? Okay. And I was scared. Like, okay, great. You're going to figure it out. I heard you. Crystal, I don't know your background.
I know. We just became friends 3 minutes ago. So I know you don't know.
Stop it. I'm saying when you were, before you came to New York, I don't know. And when you were here, you were, when I met you, you were doing the read. And I didn't even know you were doing that. Oh. I just was like, I like her. She's cool.
That was great. I loved that.
Mama had a regular job like the rest of us.
Yeah, I was like, oh, yes. I was like, whatever she's doing good. So that's nice. And I kept pushing.
I knew Jay would be fine because Jade is a hustler. And, you know, I knew at the end of the day, she was always going to make sure that her and her baby was good. You know, her family was going to be fine. So I wasn't really worried about Jade leaving the corporate world. But for me, it was more like I had moved to New York. I used to be a public information officer for an oil and gas agency in Oklahoma. Very long, convoluted story there. But I decided to leave, moved to New York, and I just kind of bounced around, had a bunch of odd jobs, temp jobs, stuff like that, until I landed my job at MTV as an executive assistant. And we did the show for like, I want to say 2.5 years before I felt secure enough to leave my job and just do that. Mm-hmm. It had to be years of income that first of all matched what I was making at my corporate job and consistency of me receiving that check. I think I have too much earth in my chart, and I'm the eldest daughter of Southern blacks, and one thing they teach us to do is fucking work. One thing you are raised to do is work and understand that you can't depend on nobody but you. So make sure you are good. So it took that long for me to feel comfortable enough with the consistency of the checks and the amount of the checks for me to leave my corporate job. So I get this, like, that this is an issue that I struggled with for so long. And for me, it boiled down to I'm just going to have to be unhappy until I can feel secure.
Because it's not, and that I'm not, you can't take care of yourself either. Like, you're fooling yourself into thinking that's freedom, but that's not freedom either. So,
yeah, I mean, and it's deeply unfair that that is the choice I had to make, like, be unhappy or have a place to live. It's like, you know, there's a shit position to be in, but
can I ask you a follow-up question?
There's no safety net here. Yeah, of course.
If the read wouldn't have provided the financial stability that you were looking for, let's say it's 2024 and it's still climbing, right? It's still something that you're like, there's money there. I can't live off of it, but I enjoy it. Would you still be pursuing it? Would you still have the 9 to 5? How would you have navigated that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if the Reed never made enough money to take over as like my full-time job, but I still enjoyed doing it, then I would just do it and have my 9 to 5. Mm-hmm. Mm, yeah, because for me, there's nothing that feels better than knowing my rent is paid. Like, I'm not one of these, and I envy people who are like, same. Nothing matters but like my happiness, and I have to make sure that like I feel good during the day. I don't know, maybe because I've had mental health issues for a long time, but I'm like, that I ain't never had the expectation that I would feel good during the day. Mm-hmm. Like, what the fuck you mean? Like, that's not part of my day-to-day, no way. So for me, it's not about necessarily feeling like fulfilled or like I'm doing something meaningful. The first priority for me is feeling like I'm secure.
Yeah. Same, actually.
And it's hard to feel secure in New York City, which is why I kept working for almost 3 years after we started the show, long after the Reed had outpaced what MTV was paying me as an executive assistant for way less work. And still, I was like, ain't no way. Because this city, one thing I know, will beat your ass, chew you up, spit you out, and then chew you up again. So it was nothing but luck, I guess, and the blessing of timing and being first, and not to take away from our individual talent. Gifts, but a lot of not to take away from the talent at all, but there's something to be said for being like the first show to break through in that way. At least as far as like Black people go, especially Black queer people, it was. So I'm saying all this to say, like, there's a lot that goes into the conversation, but this society is not really set up for us to pursue our dreams and be happy in our work. It's not like, you know, if we had universal basic income and everybody was guaranteed the things they need, housing and food and water and clothing and shelter, like, if we had that and a universal basic income and people could just do whatever they wanted with their lives, we would see a lot more people doing that. But, you know, society, capitalism, as you said at the top of the conversation, capitalism means that for most of us, we make the choice of working so that we have somewhere to live, because that's not guaranteed to us, which is insane, but it is our system.
All right, Jay.
When I also decided I was done with corporate, it was after I had Jaden XD for several years. Then also had Getting Grown for a period of time. And it was the same thing. Can I cover what my salary was and then a little bit extra? And I was able to do that. But I did set the intention that that was my last corporate stop, because I've been working a really long time. And I've always worked in a way where I've done whatever I needed to do in order to make sure that, like Crystal said, I am at least secure. You know what I'm saying? So, or like when I was in college, I made sure. Are you fucking serious?
It's fine. They're
terrorists. No, they're terrorists.
It's the soundtrack to Brooklyn.
But I wanted to make sure I was at least always had a roof over my head and had food, you know, food to eat and things like that. I lived on my own for a long time, so I always had to make sure that was that, because it would be worse if it wasn't. I'd rather do something for a few hours out of the day that I may not particularly enjoy to not sleep in my car. And this is not me shitting on houseless people, because there are people who don't have that option. But if I have the choice, I got to make sure my kid is good. I got to make sure that I at least have a roof. It may not be the nicest roof in the world, but I at least have that, and trying to find the balance of that. So I did set the intention that I was done with corporate, because I was burnt out with that. I've been doing that a long time. But I said, I need to at least be able to sustain myself. And you're not going to enjoy even the things that you enjoy, you're not going to enjoy them all the time.
No.
Yep. That's a very good
point. It's just not real. Mm-hmm. It's not realistic. And so I think it's about being present as much as you possibly can in whatever it is, and trying to find the joys,
where you can find mm-hmm. them, because you can't control the system that we live in. This is where we are. And that we're trying our best, but we don't have control over it. Ultimately, we would like to think that we can, but we don't right now. So you have to figure mm-hmm. out how to live in the system that you are a part of, unless you're going to go live somewhere else with a different system.
Those are great points. Go ahead, Crystal.
Well, I was just going to say that I agree with Jade. And to be clear, a lot of the reason I stayed at MTV so long was that although it could be stressful at times, for the most part, it really was not. And I liked my coworkers. The work was not hard for me. Like, I stayed busy, but I wasn't miserable. If I was miserable at work, that would be a different situation.
Well, that is
different. I probably would have left way sooner. So, you know, part of it is MTV was comfortable enough to where I could feel like, okay, I can do both. Like, I don't hate this job. I was so grateful for that job at MTV because I had just lost my temp job. The person I was temping for came back to work. And so I had been out of work for a few weeks and I was starting to stress out. So, you know, it was just circumstances where it made it easier for me to make that decision. But yeah, it's hard. Like,
it is.
It is an impossible situation, especially I think when you have dependents, kids, like people who depend on you to live, it becomes that much more challenging, because how much of your own happiness and mental health are you supposed to give up for others?
Yeah. You got to find the balance between that. And that's hard.
Yeah.
Because that's not the system that we live in. I do love what I do. And I did try to figure out a way and how to pivot into what I was passionate about. So I'm grateful that I got to do that. But I also recognize that there are going to be certain things that I have to do, even within the things that I love, that I don't always enjoy or love. I mean, I don't hate them because I don't want to do that. But I don't always love the most in that moment. Sometimes I'm tired. Sometimes I don't feel like doing shit. But I also don't feel like being hungry. I also don't feel like not having anywhere to live.
Yeah, this comes with other problems. And so, yeah. What about you, Antoinette?
Yeah, what about you?
I mean, the listeners have heard my spiel on this. I'm very similar to Crystal, where it was really interesting how Shanti was like, it depends on what makes you feel secure. And Shanti's very different, where she's like, if I don't feel good, if I don't feel aligned, if I feel out of whack, then I can't. I just can't. Well, and she has pivoted, and I've always said to her, like, I'm similar to Crystal. I am amazed by folks who are like, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that, and I don't care. And she's doing that with the kid. You know, like, I'll figure it out. And so I'm very different, where that is not my top priority. My top priority is, and I think it comes from my upbringing of not feeling secure. And so to me, security, I'll never forget that Shanti on this podcast said to me, your love language is security. That's your love language. If someone can provide you emotional security, financial security, you could provide that for yourself, you're good. But as soon as you don't know, you start to flail out, and the fear sets in. And so it's something that I'm working through, where I struggle with shame around, you know, I've cried in front of y'all about my current job. I've cried, whatever. It's getting easier because I'm off the teams that were harder and awful. But y'all know how much that has eaten me up, how much, you know, really loving this podcast. And it was interesting how Shanti and I were talking about, you know, she has talked about that she worries about my ability or my, I'll stay up. If I don't like the way the audio sounds, if I hear it or something. This is back when I was editing. Shout out to Monty, your great editor. This is no shade to you. But back, I would stay up till 3-4 in the morning if I needed to, trying to do it right, because this is something that I care about and love, and my name's on it. That's also another thing. My name's on it. I'm going to do my best. But it's also, I don't see that as crazy because I love it. So I'm going to put my all into it. But in some people's mind, that's like you're caught up in this rat race, this capitalist rat race of produce. And you don't give yourself a break. But when, mm-hmm. but, so I struggle with figuring out what it is with me, which mm-hmm. one it truly is. Mm-hmm. And this is a great segue. I found a therapist. I wanted to talk about the WNBA, but that shit ain't flowing into this conversation. So I'm going to go down to the therapy one. I found a therapist since we have a therapist on with us. Mm-hmm. Fancy. Yes. All right. Crystal, go, Crystal, go.
Went to school.
Like,
so much school.
That's amazing. Yeah. But I mean, I found a therapist and I'm going to, you know, we're going to have our first session. By the time this comes out, I would have had my first session with her, I hope. And I don't know. She asked me to write down the things that I needed to, that I wanted to address. And I was like, sis, so many. I mean, I wrote down stuff like, obviously, anxiety. I want to get rid of my fear-based approach to decision-making. Mm-hmm. While it has, and I wrote this, like, but I also at the same time, I cannot lie and say it has not protected me. Like some mm-hmm. of the ways in which I have set things in place and positioned myself, I have always been okay. I've always been mm-hmm. able to take care of myself. And that's something I really pride myself on. So where is that balance? My relationship with my body, to all kinds of shit that I wrote. Like I have a person in my life who is an alcoholic. I need to deal with that. Like all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited. But I thought it was very interesting that she said, okay, great. Please make sure you read this, this, and this for how to prepare for therapy. And I was like, what? Prepare for therapy? Mm-hmm. And so I hit Crystal and was like, is this something you want to talk about? Because I've never heard of prepare for therapy besides like show up, be honest. And that was, I thought I was prepared. And I still ain't read the Jones. I was too busy researching about Palestine. So what I'm like, I'm gonna read it. No, I'm gonna read it. I'm gonna invest in it, but I just haven't yet. So I'm looking for one. I want you to talk your shit here. Like this is your lane, and I don't know, Jade, if you ever went to therapy. I'm very curious to know about that. Okay, mm-hmm. And like I'm curious, like what is the best way to find a therapist? I mentioned on the first podcast how you date a therapist, and you were like, "Girl, shut up." All kinds of things like.
It's fine. It's fine. I know what you mean. I know what that means.
You know, like I've been to therapy before. That was after a breakup. I ain't really like mm-hmm. her that much, but I knew I needed to go. She got on my nerves yeah. after a year and I was like, deuces. So mm-hmm. I'm hoping that this one is more long lasting and that I can leave with some tools. Also the different types. Yeah. She was like, what type of therapy are you interested in? I was like, girl, therapy.
Yeah, that's important.
What you talking about?
Therapy isn't for everybody.
Okay.
You don't think
yeah. Well, I don't. I think asking, with all due respect to your therapist, I think asking clients what type of therapy they're looking for, I don't know that most people are really equipped to answer that question accurately.
And wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it assumes that people know more about the different modalities than they do. Okay. But also, I know that a lot of therapists are getting clients because they've learned so much on Instagram and TikTok about mental health. And so a lot of people are coming into it with an idea of what they think will work for them. I need CBT. I need this. I need that. I need EMDR. Like, so I think maybe that's a question they ask for that, or maybe just to gauge your understanding of what you think therapy will be like. But I agree that I think what's most important for your first session is just a willingness to be honest mm-hmm. about what it is you're going through. The fact that she had you write down things you want to address is great, so that it's on your mind when you go in and start talking to her. And to get, and if you have an idea of goals, so not necessarily just the things that you're struggling with, but what do you want your life to look like? Or how do you want to feel? How do you want to be? Like, what is, let's also talk about the goals you want to accomplish through therapy and the things that are the challenges for you. And, you know, she is the professional. She will guide most of that first conversation. It'll probably be kind of like an intake where she gets some basic background information, medical history, stuff like that. And a lot of times during that process, when I do an intake with a new client, let's say they come in and they're presenting problem, you know, the things that you're saying you're struggling with is anxiety and depression. Okay, very common. Mm-hmm. I don't start the session with, okay, well, this is what anxiety means. This is what depression means. And so in order to fix it, we do this, this, this. No. In order for therapy to really work, I have to get to know you and find out what happened to you. Because we're born perfect. We're born not having any fucked up ideas about ourselves. We don't judge our bodies. We don't judge the people around us. The world is just something to learn and explore. And there's so many joys in childhood for that reason. There's so many things you don't know. Mm-hmm. And it's the people and the environment around us that end up fucking us up, for lack of better words. And so throughout this intake interview process, you're giving me answers, you know, how old you are, where you grew up, what did your family look like? Like, who lived with you in the home when you grew up? Have you had any medical issues? The answers to these things can start to, can kind of give me like the basic bare bones outline of like who you are and the things that have happened that are, that may be contributing to your mental health problems now. Mm-hmm. So like, if you tell me, oh, I grew up in a home with my grandma, my mom, my three little brothers, and my dad moved out when I was 4 years old and started living with another woman and taking care of her kids, and I haven't seen him since. Mm. That tells me a whole lot. Mm-hmm. That one sentence tells me so much about how you were affected from a young age and how that might still be affecting you in adulthood. Now, I'm not going to jump right to, oh, girl, obviously you're depressed because you ain't got no daddy. Like, I'm not going to do that. But
I'm obsessed with you.
It's like she was a therapist and then the read popped out. And it was like, wait a minute. Came in like, oh girl, your daddy
just
going
to remind up. Y'all, just to remind y'all, it's still ghetto over here, and this is not therapy. Heard you. But you know, I guide that first conversation. I get, you know, some basic information out of you, and whatever you feel comfortable disclosing is what will come out. And then as the relationship deepens, I will get to know you more naturally, and you will naturally start to open up more. And there's times that clients, you know, after seeing them for 6 or 7 months, they tell me something that has never once come up before. Like, I had a baby and it died when it was 2 weeks old, or someone molested me when I was a child. Like, very frequently, that's why I say be as honest as you can. You don't necessarily have to lay all your trauma out in detail if you're not ready to do that. Mm-hmm. But be as open as you can in order to facilitate the healing. Like, we cannot do it for you.
Right.
And if you lie, or if you pretend that things aren't affecting you that are, if you pretend that you're, you know, not binge drinking, not, you know, smoking crack or whatever, like whatever your habits may be, if you're pretending that you are or not are not doing things that that you are doing, then it just hinders you. It hinders your growth. Because I can't work with lies.
It's like, so, it's like lying to the doctor.
But what? Right. Well, oh, right. Because it's
it
like,
is. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, why that's you your that? Checkup. This is your mental health checkup.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You tell your doctor you're not doing coke, and then they look inside your nostrils and they're like, you definitely are doing coke.
Right. Or you're not sucking dick. You tell the dentist, and then they see that giant imprint in the back of your throat They said they can tell if you've been giving head.
I gotta go.
Deadass. The dentist said they can tell. The dentist said they can tell when you've been giving head.
Shout out to the deep throat god, Jay. Jay said, guck. My dentist says, sis.
What I'm saying.
You knocked your tonsils out. Take it easy.
First of all, that's aggressive fellatio.
There is a dick-shaped imprint in the back of your throat.
No, that's what the dentist said to the person.
Yeah. When I read the story dentist about. Said, Jade got a little mushroom indent right here.
She said that's the article I read. Girl, no, it's not.
No, it doesn't.
Shout out to Tristan.
I'll link it in the chat.
Show us the ring. Anyway. I see why, girl.
You're so
anyway. sorry, Dr. Kristen.
No. Yeah, apologies.
Now I'm grossed out.
I have a friend actually who goes to therapy and said that her commute affects how her therapy goes. And her therapist asked her, hey, okay, we've got to find some ways for you to get, because it throws our whole sessions off. And whereas initially I was like, fuck, but then I can understand that because you're there for a very specific reason. And like you said, you all are not there to you can't do the work for the other person.
Right.
But also how would you handle if somebody was, if you recognize that a particular external thing was affecting how the sessions were progressing?
Well, it depends on the level of control you have over that external thing and whether I think your reactions to it are appropriate based on whatever that thing is.
Okay.
So like if you are so irritated because you had to get to Midtown at rush hour and there were no seats on the train, and you're so pissed off by that that you can't do therapy, now we need to talk about why you're that pissed off at that. Because that is very normal. Because that is a very normal occurrence. Like if that pisses you off that bad, the city is going to keep you pissed every day. So, but if it's something else, I mean, there could be any number of issues. My kids make it hard for me to get going in the morning and I have, you know, I'm stressed out the whole way here because I'm taking time away from work to be here. Like things like that. The approach changes to what can we do materially to make this better for you or easier for you? Like what is in your control? And then also looking at alternatives, like would it be better for you for us to see each other virtually? And there's a lot of conversation around what's better, virtual or telehealth or in-person sessions. And I think each has their benefits. If in-person is ideal, if in-person works for everybody, I think it has a slight advantage, but you really, well, not slight. I think it's a lot to sit in a room with somebody, no distractions, focused on nothing but yourself and what it is that's on your heart. The what's excellent about telehealth is that we can reach so many more people. We don't have the burden of getting on the train or whatever else. Like you don't have to commute. That's huge because a lot of my clients do not have the time to come see me in the city in the middle of the day. They're working, like they're literally at work and they cannot do it. So, but that also means that some of the quality of the sessions can be compromised if you don't have the privilege of sitting in a quiet room with no kids or husband or dog or, you know, relatives, the TV's on. Like sometimes I have clients who are, like let's say one of my clients is a maid at a hotel. Sometimes they will come to join the session while they're cleaning the hotel room. It's like people work while they're in therapy and it's like, that is not ideal. That is really not ideal.
But shout out only to them for trying to get it done.
But they're doing the best they can with what they
it's
got.
It's the only time they have to see me. And that's why I see clients at hours of the day that I typically would not be willing to work.
That's right.
But it is the only
evening
time
that we're
they
not allowed
have.
To do anything.
Only for 5 more weeks. Only for 5 more weeks.
You know, I know.
Um,
But it's good work.
So I forgot the, oh yeah. So when it's stuff like that, something is getting in the way of the process. We control mm-hmm. what we can, and we try to modify the belief or the thought that it has is having the negative impact when we can, when that is something that is applicable to the situation.
Hmm. Insightful. When it comes to, this is so helpful. Thank you. Mm. Like,
sure.
Our listeners are going to love the, when it comes to, I don't even want to talk about how I chose a therapist. When it comes to choosing a therapist,
why?
Mm-hmm. I'll be honest. Mm-hmm. All right. This is what I had did.
Like, release your shame. Why? Like, why you don't
want to? I went on Instagram? Psychology Today. No.
Oh, that's
went
fine.
On psychology. Okay. But yeah. I Googled like my health insurance or not mm-hmm. Googled it. I entered my health insurance, entered mm-hmm. the state, whatever. Might filtered a couple of things, the typical anxiety, whatever. And then I saw all of the, and then I was like, okay, caters towards Black and brown folks. Cool, that one. Mm-hmm. And I started scrolling and I was like, I was so judgmental of the pictures.
I knew it. I knew you was finna say.
The pictures of what?
The therapist. Oh.
There was one therapist I really, really wanted. Because I'm going to tell you what I was looking for. I was looking for like Toni Morrison. I needed somebody who was going to tell me like it the fuck was. Like I keep saying this. I don't have an older Black woman in my life. That's an issue. Okay. Right? I do not have that guidance.
Crystal.
Okay?
I can't stand her. It is. I know you don't because you biting.
So I was
ain't no big Amy.
Stop it.
Ain't no big mama.
Ain't no, because I bit you. So
you ain't got no mama.
No.
Ain't no big.
I have my grandmother, but we're not close. Okay.
Yeah.
Even
yeah,
though I go visit her. She ain't,
I get it.
Yeah.
She ain't get it done. But I was looking for that. And then I don't know what happened. I just really was like, I need somebody that's going to tell me like it is. I'm reading the what they're writing and like, oh, prepare to be in a safe space. And it all sounded the same. And I was just like, man. And I got really disinterested. It was like, how the fuck do you pick? I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, no, go back. So like a week later, I went back. I tried this woman. She was actually younger, but something about her. She was younger. She had locks and she wasn't available. So then I got upset again. Then I go back and there's this curly haired woman. And I was like, I don't want a mixed person. And that was, I don't know why. It's showing my bias. I'm bringing this up in therapy. This is going to be what I talk about. Like, good. Why did I pick I you? This.
She's like, I was looking for well. Mama Afua, but you know, you'll do. And I need right. to figure out why I was looking for Afua.
I really, because I just feel like I don't want to be coddled. I want very clear, like, this is what it is, girl. You are doing X, Y, and Z. Here's some homework. Like, I want work. But also, is that part of my fucking problem? You want work. You can work your way out of everything. So I'm like, you know what? I don't know. So she says something about when you feel lost. And I said, all right. I feel lost because I can't even pick the right fucking person. Mm-hmm. And I was judging her because she seems like a little bit young, but she took my insurance and I was like, fuck it. What? You're going to have a couple sessions. If you don't like her, then you mm-hmm. try somebody you else.
Yeah.
No hurt feelings. No. I promise you. Therapists, we understand that everybody is not a match.
Yeah. But I still do want to understand why Queen Afua is your prototype for.
I didn't say Queen Afua, bitch. I said Toni Morrison.
Toni Morrison.
Because I listened to Toni Morrison and I love the fact that Toni Morrison just tells you what it is and what it is.
And we love Auntie Toni with an I, howsomever. Do you believe that every older Black woman who presents a certain way
no,
has never coddled a
not
nigga?
At all.
Have you seen these niggas out here?
No, not at all. Not at all. But part of it was that it was just, it wasn't how she looked. I just knew that was the energy that I wanted.
Copy.
And I did want an older woman because I just felt like y'all didn't been here now. I'm respecting that. Like, I just feel like a younger person, you figuring out like me. You don't fucking know. But that's dismissive. Who the fuck knows? I say all that to say, can you give us some tools on how to pick a therapist when you're scrolling through? It's like being on Tinder or something at this point. It feels so weird. It's like, I don't
know. It's overwhelming. It can get
everybody's gonna, some of this shit reads like it's written by AI. You know, there are some pictures. It was a couple things where they like, and I was like, no, I'm not. That's not the energy. No, right. It was some like peace signs, duck lips in the pictures. And I was like, that's not the energy I'm looking for. So that's what I mean when I'm like, I'm looking for an older, seemingly older, just like grounded human. But you don't fucking know that through a picture. It's weird. It's so, the whole thing is weird.
I'm glad you identified the problem with your logic there, is that you can't really tell what the therapist's style would be like based off their photo. You really can't. No. So or I'm glad really you, I'm bio. Glad you, yeah, I'm glad you clocked that for yourself.
No, that's why I'm so genuinely asking, how do you pick? Because that's the resource that I have.
Yes, but okay, so realistically, I think you pick based off your insurance first and foremost for most people. You're going to have to find somebody who takes your insurance unless you're privileged enough to self-pay. And then after that, you go based off availability. And then maybe after that, you can start getting into things like race or gender. But those first two tend to be the biggest sort of factors or even barriers for most people is insurance and availability, because therapists are in high demand and it's not enough Black ones out here for all the Black people who want therapy, especially Black men. Mm-hmm. We definitely don't have enough Black men therapists. No.
But I have to say, there's so many Black woman therapists on Psychology Today to take my fucking insurance and are available. It's crazy.
Well, you live in New York.
Right, right.
I'm talking about nationwide.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
But certain cities, you're not going to have a problem. New York, Philly, Atlanta, New Orleans, LA, Detroit, Chicago. You're not going to have a problem, probably. But when you get into everywhere else, it starts getting a little trickier. I would say, though, for you, what of all the things you just said, what stood out to me the most is that it seems that you want a therapist to almost kind of punish you.
Oh, no.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's so bad.
Sounds like you want somebody to say. Because it sounds like you want somebody to, you want to come in and talk about your life and have somebody say, girl, this is where you fucking up. And this is what you need to do instead. And when you leave here today, I want you to do A, B, C, and D. And then you come back next week and we're going to talk about it. Like, it sounds like you, almost like you want to be scolded for your life. Or maybe some things you've done. Almost like you want them to, kind of fuss at you or punish you for it by giving you homework. And here's something you need to do to, like, make up for your wrongs and to learn and do better. Like, there's nothing wrong with...
How I was raised. So that's what registers with me. Mm-hmm. That's how I learn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned that maybe that's one of your problems. And I think it might be. That might be something you need to unlearn, the idea that punishment is the best way to teach someone, because it's really not. And the thing about therapy is that for most people, it really is a process. Like, yes, sometimes people come to therapy to cope with like dynamic one-time events, a death in the family, something like that, but for most people, you're unraveling years and years and years of fucked up conditioning that was not your fault, but is now your responsibility. Mm-hmm. And to go back to an earlier point you made, a lot of times the things that we do or did in our younger years to cope with what was happening to us did indeed serve us very well. And that's why they're so hard to let go of in adulthood, because they've worked, but they're not working anymore. We're not children anymore. Mm-hmm. We're fully autonomous adult human beings who are in control of our own lives. But it does not necessarily feel that way to the child who went through so much at a young age or had to learn to adapt to their messed up circumstances in order to survive, really. So when you say, you know, for me, I have to feel secure because I never felt secure as a child. I'm like, yeah, me either. And it wasn't financially. I never had to worry about, like, did we have somewhere to live or would the lights be on? But emotionally, I was not at all safe and I was not at all secure. And the ways that I adapted to that, you outgrow them. They don't serve you anymore in adulthood, and they actually start to hurt you and hold you back. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you saying that had me thinking, oh, I think what you actually need is somebody to treat you like a cinnamon apple. I think maybe not to that extreme, but I think that's probably something that is holding you back. This idea that you need to be like strong-armed into doing something, mm-hmm. instead of somebody showing you patience as you learn.
I think I owe you money for a session.
That would be unethical.
Thank you.
Okay, the ACA is here.
Yes, she is ready to report. I am a mandated reporter, baby. Watch your mouth.
That is not what that means.
It doesn't matter. It does to me. Love it.
Jade, what about your... Thank you for that, Crystal. That's really helpful. Of course.
Yeah, that was... Anytime. That was great.
What about you, Jade? What's your experience with therapy? Why are you not in therapy? You in therapy? What you doing over there?
No, I was in therapy for quite some time, actually. And then insurance, you know, mm-hmm. money situation. Mm-hmm. My yep. therapist ended up moving. And, you know, when they're not licensed, where they're going, then you have to part yep. ways. And I just haven't found another. But I'm very, very pro-therapy. Very pro-therapy. I think it's a beneficial tool. Very useful.
So for folks who are in, because Crystal, I know that you are actually, I don't know if you don't need to talk about it here, but we've talked about why you've gotten your degree, why you've pursued this, what your mission and vision is behind this. For folks like Jade, who like their therapist left, then insurance happened, and now it's like, sucks. Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What are some, because I could imagine that many listeners right now are like, I can't fucking afford therapy. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. legitimately can't afford it. So while we hate yeah. on the TikTok shit, I'm doing the best I can. I'm following Jay Shetty. Mm-hmm. I'm writing my journal and I'm yeah. trying.
I think I'm going to have to, you know, and I'm sure there are already like free resources online for something that can kind of help, things that can, you know, try to fill in the gap as much as possible. But I don't know. I don't want to also say, oh, well, just go on TikTok and search mental health counseling. Like, because I don't, yeah, you know, I can't like a
terrible
vet.
Idea.
Right. I can't necessarily vet what everybody is putting out there. So I think what I need to do is come up with a list of like social media influencers that I trust, and some books and materials that I've read, either both in school and outside mm-hmm. of. I think that is probably your best bet if you cannot afford yeah. therapy, is to buy books written by licensed counselors, licensed psychologists and psychiatrists. Mm-hmm. And there are some that I really do recommend, like Adult Children of Emotionally Immature Parents. That book applies to pretty much everybody.
Yeah. Adult yeah, Children of
Emotionally Immature Parents.
Immature Parents, mm-hmm. yeah.
That's a big one. Book. Yeah, it's wonderful.
But there's, I don't know, I have so many. I'm over here looking.
And they have a few books, I feel like, by that same author or the, mm-hmm. yeah, they have a few different.
It's, I mean, at this point, well, never mind, let me not say that out loud, because that's not technically legal, but I'll just say there are some resources that I share with all of my clients, or most of my clients. However, I can share them because they need to read them that badly. Mm-hmm. But I think in general, yes, like if you cannot afford it, then invest whatever you can into literature mm-hmm. written by people and guided journals. There are journals mm-hmm. written and edited by psychologists and psychiatrists, therapists, and they are meant for you to like learn how to do. Like I just bought one last week about establishing new habits. Mm. And so there, part of it is, you know, like seeking out materials to help guide you. Mm-hmm. But also if you're doing this without a therapist, I think one thing that therapy will really teach you that you don't learn on your own is that you have to be patient with yourself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You are not going to read it once or twice or 10 times even, and then magically start doing things differently. Mm-hmm. It takes a long time to replace old habits. It takes a long time to learn and fully implement something new. Yeah. You can learn it without really adapting it into your being, into your knowledge, without making it a part of your life. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's, I think, a lot of the concern for the general public is I think y'all are really not being patient enough with yourselves as you try mm-hmm. to work on yourself.
Yeah, grace is imminent. Another thing too,
it is a very long process.
It is, and because you have to look at if you've got, let's say, 39, and you got 39 years worth of mm-hmm. of learned yep. behavior. Mm-hmm. What you think is going to take you 6 months to unlearn 39 years worth of learned behavior? It's not realistic.
It's not
sugar. But also another thing that's helped me, because I saw my therapist probably for a good year and a half during the pandemic. And one thing that's been helpful while I've not been active in looking for another one, if I'm being honest, but one thing that has been helpful in sustaining is taking a lot of the conversations and the tools and things that we discussed and actually implementing those. So I'll refer back to my notes, you know, mm-hmm. and just try to use kind of, you know, things like that to kind of ground myself in the interim until I figure out, you know, what the next move is going to be. So I think it's taking advantage of the therapy also while you're in it, like use that and really hone in on those things and see how it's going to help you to cope while we're living in the world that we live in.
Yeah.
Great points.
I agree.
Ladies, oh, I got thank the stamp you so of much. Approval. Yeah.
Are you okay? You look a little woebegone.
Yeah, what's happening? What's going on?
No,
you look shocked
I
and overwhelmed.
No, I'm not. I'm taking in everything that Crystal said. I'm taking in everything. I hear myself when I say stuff and I can identify, like, this is part of your
I didn't
crazy.
Try to read you, girl.
No. And I even okay. if you did, it was necessary for me to hear. It's a loving. Maybe I'm a masochist. Maybe I like getting red too. See, it's tricky over here. It's tricky. But I felt called in, not called out. I felt like, hey, I see this. And to be seen by someone who you love, who loves you, is a great honor. So I'm thankful. I'm just taking it in of like, yeah, before this call, what are your intentions and why are they that? Hate it here. What's
lots to think
fuck?
About?
It's rough.
Yo,
it's
to think
it's
about.
Rough.
That
listen,
is
people
corny.
Be wanting these journeys of light and love and all kinds
Ew.
Of things, and they don't realize that you've got to get to the shadowy parts of yourself if you really gonna do some real healing.
You do.
That's where.
You
that's
gotta
where
go
the
through
shit,
it.
That's where the crud lives. You know what I'm saying?
I thought
you
gotta, that I gotta had go did back. It.
No,
nah, this
well,
is the root canal
you
for your spirit, and it's necessary if you want to keep those teeth. You know.
What?
Yes, Uncle Jay. We know.
She's so irritating, yo. Jay just be talking under there.
Yeah,
what?
But there's always
all
truth
I heard was
somewhere.
If you want to keep truth. Them teeth.
There's huh? truth in the yeah. things and the things
She's
that
quite
I say.
Ghetto.
You just sift a little bit, but there's a point. There's a point.
All right. Well, I know this helped somebody because it helped me. So. Mm-hmm. I would like
well, and
to
you
think,
know, just oh, no. remember, I don't know everything. Like, this is just one person's opinions. For whoever listens to this and is like, no, bitch, wrong. I do need somebody to yell at me. Okay, I don't know your life. I'm just saying, because I'm talking to my friend. So I'm just saying what I see in her. This is not necessarily for everyone in the whole world. That was tailored to you.
And I appreciate that. I'm just so grateful to know y'all and grateful that y'all show up when I say I need a guest host and just grateful to be supported by you. And it's just a lot. I'm taking it all in.
Oh, I love I'm really love trying grateful. To be your friend.
Yeah. She ruined it. I literally
I love a callback. I'm getting emotional listening to her.
I was
trying to
pull you back. Your eyes are getting, your eyes was tearing
they,
up.
They are, because I was like, wow, she's really, she sees me.
Well, I do.
Even though we're not friends.
Psych. Yeah.
We are.
You don't. You,
I can't
you
wait.
Don't really claim me, but
I do claim you. I love you anyway. That's just this not so true. Stupid.
No, this is dumb. Crystal, stop defending. No, stop. Stop trying to defend.
I know,
because
she gets me going, and that's just not true.
You said it.
You literally. I've said never it. Said it, and I can't wait. Wait till I show you how much I don't feel that way. You about to get so annoyed with the amount of DMs, the shit that I send Jay.
I
can't
wait. I have to troll you so that it's clear that I'm your friend and not your therapist.
Yeah, she gotta say something unethical.
That's true. I can't be asking to be my therapist.
She'd be like, bitch, your fair. Mama. See, that's something your therapist could never do. She gotta break it.
It's true.
We might have to talk to Jay, though. Why? I'm worried about your throat. Are you all right?
That was not my throat. Okay, let's be very clear.
Teach me, girl. I thought I was good.
No, you. No, I'm sure you.
I
are.
Ain't got no imprints. No.
We've had enough. Neither do I.
Let me see.
You might be good, but you're not unlocking that jaw like Jade is.
I ain't got that mushroom imprint in there.
It's a special trick. It's so wild. It's just right here behind your trachea. You like, got this little.
We're not well.
You're like, what? Something else to remind you, she's not our therapist.
Oh my God.
Not your therapist.
No.
Mm-mm. I just want to say the Sixers is up only by 4, though.
All right. Love that.
Yay. Go, Sixers.
Hey, Jazz his.
Oh my God. Anyway. All right. I love y'all. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. I can't wait to see what's next. Please, y'all know where to listen to these girls. Listen to Jade.
Thank you for having me
grown.
On the show.
Yeah, we love
of
you.
Of course.
I thought you were
listen to Jade and Getting Grown. Listen to Jade and XD. Listen to Crystal and the Reed.
Not for anything useful. Jade and XD is nothing that's going to benefit your life.
Similarly, it absolutely is useful.
We're not going to enrich your life like this show.
That is not true.
The Reed will
you have no you idea. Both of you, you offer so much. People need joy. People need community. People need to feel fucking seen.
This is true.
Are you kidding me?
You're right.
Thank you for that reminder.
Yacht Rock. You're right.
Yeah, y'all tripping. Don't nobody want to hear this shit all the time.
I feel called in.
Yes, and not thank called you. Out.
I fuck you, both of y'all. I've got all right.
I carry your heart with me.
I do.
I carry
Monty,
it in
put
my
the
heart.
Affirmation Red music over this queen. While they make fun of me. Go ahead.
Me and you us never part.
Maki-dada. Yeah, I love that.
Me and you. One heart.
Dr. Umar, all that.
Monty, make sure that affirmation music is on that because they're getting on my nerves and they're mocking me. And that's fine.
Y'all thought I was finished. Y'all thought
I was
finished.
Hey. Flexing all these niggas like I'm fucking on this planet.
See, it got ghetto. It got ghetto.
Duality is a thing.
It is.
This
it
week is. Was very woo-woo. Next week could be something else. You know, it's tricky over here. It's life. Thank y'all. I won't hold you any longer. Sixes is up. Sixes and six. Fuck the Knicks. And that's it. That's how we out.
Okay.
We out.
All right.
Have a great day.
All right.
We like to say here, peace to the gods. And then Shanti says peace to the gods. And then I say the old and the new. And then we hang up.
Oh, very American gods. Cool boy, Neil Gaimans. I love that.
Oh, I felt like it was Game of Thrones, but all right.
Oh, all right. Ta-ta.
Bye.
You have just heard an Around the Way Curls John. Follow them on Twitter at ATWCurls and Instagram at Around the Way Curls. We out early.
Very good.